Welcome to the presentation of a lecture from Gnostic Radio, a free public service from the Gnostic tradition of Samael Onvior. Gnosis is the root wisdom of all the world's great religions. Gnosis is a universal teaching of practical science, whose goal is absolute liberation from suffering and the complete development of the human being. This lecture is one of many available by free download or podcast. The hundreds of hours of lectures range in topic and complexity in order to address the many needs of humanity. Each Saturday, Gnostic Radio broadcasts live. The live lecture is accompanied by an online chat, allowing listeners to read additional explanations related to the lecture and providing an opportunity to ask questions of the speaker. To learn how to participate or tune into our continuous web broadcast, visit our website for more information at GnosticRadio.org. Gnostic Radio is made possible by the financial support of listeners like you. For more information or to make a donation, visit our website at GnosticRadio.org. Now, with heartfelt wishes for the end of suffering for all creatures, we begin the lecture. May all beings be happy.
Alchemy and the Tetragrammaton. Alchemy relates to the tree of good and evil that is called in the Bible the tree of knowledge. Alchemy is a sign of transmutation, the way in which we change one element into another, or transform, or as we say it, mutate, which is to transform. Let us concentrate in the earth. We live in this planet, which is a living organism. And indeed, in order to sustain alive this planet, transmute, this planet is transforming forces all the time. When we visualize the mineral kingdom of the planet, then we go into its inner layers. We find the metals, minerals, which are the nervous system of this planet. Metals, minerals, and all the elements that exist within the inner layers of the earth relates to the nervous system that channel electricity, solar light, is attracted mainly in the mineral kingdom by the oceans, lakes and rivers. The water itself is that element related with the law of the cosmic common, trogo auto ego kratic, which means the law of nourishment, or to swallow and to be swallowed. Talking in an energetic manner. So the water, the oceans, the seas, are that main element that transforms solar energy, that transfer that into the inner layers, the metals and minerals of the earth, which is what we call the mineral kingdom. In the same way, if you observe, we have our own nervous system that channels that energy in order to feed our physical body. Because the physical body itself, similar to the earth, channels forces, but very different. Since the earth has different organs, as a living organism, in order to transform different type of energies. For instance, the sexual organ of the earth is the plant kingdom, which is directly related with its lungs. Similar to us, when we learn about the sexual energy, we know that the sexual force is related to the respiratory system. This is why when we teach pranayama, the way in which we take advantage of the energy of the earth and the energy of our physical body, we use the nostrils. The nose, because they are connected to the sexual glands called testicles and ovaries. In a similar way, the planet Earth, its plant kingdom, is connected to its respiratory system. The earth breathes through the plants. The plants are not like us. Standing on our feet, the head of the plant is actually the root of the plant that is going down into the earth. And its sexual organs goes up and is what we call fruits, flowers. The sexual organ of the planet Earth transform the solar energy through the plant kingdom. And of course, place the oxygen or the outcome of all of this transformation of alchemy in the atmosphere. The oxygen that we breathe. Not only the mineral kingdom and the plant kingdom are the organs of the earth, also we find the animal kingdom. The animal kingdom relates with the spleen. The spleen is an organ located in the left side of our physical body. The spleen is that organ that attracts the solar light during the time when we are sleeping. That solar light goes into the nervous system and charges the physical body during the moment of sleep. In a similar way, we will say that the planet Earth has its own spleen. That spleen is related with the animals. Each one of them has different type of organisms that attract different forces, solar forces, not only from this solar system, but from other solar systems, other galaxies, from the megalocosmos, the infinite. So the spleen is the animal kingdom. However, in the animal kingdom of the earth, we also find another kingdom, erroneously called humanity. We call it animality, because indeed we are intellectual animals. We still belong to the animal kingdom. It is very rare to find a human being. So this humanity, that we call it humanity for respect, is related to the liver. The liver, indeed, is that this humanity that transforms also forces. But if we observe the liver, it has underneath this other organ that is called gallbladder. The liver, indeed, is a large organism or large organ in our body. And the gallbladder is underneath, which is actually related to it. Both liver and gallbladder relates what we call the forces of the moon, lunar forces, that also are in the universe, because the planet Earth nurtures itself also with the lunar forces. These lunar forces are related with the inner layers as well. The Earth has two types of moons. We call it the white moon and the black moon, which are related to this humanity. Traditions among the Kabbalists state that this humanity has two wives, the white moon and the black moon. The white is that relates, of course, to the spleen, that element that projects the solar light in an organism. And the gallbladder is the black moon, within which we have the bile, that bitter element, necessary, of course, for our organism. In the same way, we had to visualize the planet Earth. The liver, this humanity, is huge, but it's polluted. In other planets of our solar system, the liver of those planets is not that polluted as this planet. If you remember, we stated that the liver reflects the power of the Father in the head, the power that we call the primary force, the Father, among the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, reflects His power, His kingdom in the liver. In the liver, we stated in other lectures, we find Satan, which is nothing but an animal force within the animal kingdom, which impels the sexual force in animals, whether they are irrational or intellectual like us. The difference is that the irrational animals obey the laws of nature, the cycles, and they reproduce according to its laws. In the contrary, we, the intellectual animals, we don't obey that cycle. We exercise the sexual act according to our own whim, desires. That's why when we state that this root race, that is called the Aryan race, relates to Arius, to Samael, we acknowledge that Samael, Mars, relates to the liver. In Kabbalah, we said Gebura relates to the liver. It's indeed as it is. In order for the liver, for the humanity, to transform the lunar forces, it is necessary the activity of Lucifer, or as we call Satan. In ancient times, when the forces of the moon were necessary for this planet, they implanted in the Lemurian humanity an organ that we always name in different lectures, the Kundavafer organ, which is a tail of Satan, an organ that crystallizes in the channels, the lunar forces. The Kundavafer was erased from humanity, but the evil consequences of that organ still remained within the psyche of all of us. Psychologically speaking, we have two moons, Nahema and Lilith, or the white moon and the black moon, that relate to these organs that we are naming here, spleen, liver, and gallbladder. The liver, of course, is the reflection of the forces of the Father, the kingdom of the Father in heaven. All the strength, all that we call willpower in sexuality or sexual terms, relates to Satan and acts in the liver. Of course, all of us here present, we like to be the heart of this planet. It is very good, it will be very good if we hear, for instance, that this humanity is the heart of the planet, but it's not, unfortunately. It's the liver. In order to be the heart, we had to work with the superior forces, with that we call the monad, the spirit. And that's precisely the Gnostic doctrine. Goes directly into the heart. We need to change our nature. Instead of being a liver, to become a heart. And that's precisely the alchemical aspect of this matter. Because the heart is that wise organ that takes the impure blood of the liver and purifies it, thanks to the oxygen that enters into our lungs and becomes purified blood. So that exchange of forces in our organism, in the heart, is what we call alchemy. There are, of course, humanities that are hearts. But they are, of course, situated in the spirit, in the monad. That's why the word human means hue, the spirit, united with the mind, the manas. human. So this type of humanities exist. But if you observe the tree of life, here we find, for instance, Tifereth, which according to the symbols relates to the heart and relates to the sun, S-U-N. So when we center in the heart, we center in that we call the Son of Man, the solar force that controls the lower Sephiroth, as you see here, Netzah, Hod, Yesod, and Malkut, which relate to the four creatures which are symbolized in the tetragramma, or in the picture of Ezekiel, which is the Star of David. Netzah is the eagle, Hod is the lion, Yesod is the man, and Malkut is the bull or the oxen. That should be controlled by Tifereth, the heart. When you enter into this doctrine, this is precisely what you have to learn. That's always we insist. That we have to concentrate in our heart, because the heart is Tifereth, and which is precisely the apex, the point of the triangle that control the inferior forces or the inferior quaternary, which physically is Netzach, the liver, Hod, the spleen, Yesod, the sexual organs, and of course Malkut, the physical body, physically speaking. In the triangle above, Tifereth, Geburah, and Chesed, is the triangle of the monad, the triangle of the spirit. We always state that the monad, the spirit, is a trio of spirit, divine soul, and human soul. So when you concentrate in Tifereth, that's why in theosophy it's called superior manas, or superior man. And this superior man is assisted by Geburah, the divine spirit, or the divine soul, in Chesed, the divine spirit. This is how the monad starts the initiation through the heart. In Tifereth, we find the heroes. Tifereth, ruled by the sun, S-U-N, is Michael, he who is like God. And Michael has to control the inferior Sephiroth, which are related with the dragon. In the Bible, these four Sephiroth are related, of course, with the lower abdomen, is what the Bible calls Behemoth, whose strength is in the belly, a dragon. And the other one is also called Leviathan. So the Leviathan and Behemoth are related with the lower abdomen in any creature. Those are the forces that the Bible calls Shatan, or Satan, animal forces. with anybody has within. And of course, above that, we find Michael, the hero, the solar hero that conquers the dragon and his legions. That hero has many names and different myths. Perseus, all of them, children of Zeus, Jupiter, the father of all gods. So, this is precisely the transformation that all of us has to do if we allowed the nous atom, Michael, the son of man, which is in the left ventricle of the heart, to control our own animality. Because we need to receive help. It's coming into my mind in this very moment. Oedipus King, who tried to conquer the Sphinx, the Sphinx, of course, if you observe, relates to the same symbols. The paws of the lion in front of the Sphinx, the hoofs of the ox in the back of the Sphinx, the face of a man, and the wings of the eagle. Many times we heard that the Sphinx symbolizes the mystery of the human being, the mystery of the man. If we defeat it, people heard about the Sphinx that was a strange animal that you had to conquer. Indeed, this elemental exists within the superior dimensions. But the meaning of defeating the Sphinx means to take control of the elements related with the four creatures of Ezekiel. The fire, the lion, the water, the man, the air, the eagle, and the earth, the bull. In order to become kings and queens of nature. But it's only through the heart that we can control these four creatures that in Hebrew are named Hayot HaKadosh, holy creatures. Holy creatures, when we control them. Right now they are not holy. We are slaves under their control. And it is because all our strength is centered in the liver, in Behemoth, and down there into the Leviathan of Satan. The dragon controls us. That's why we had to enter into the knowledge of the tree of alchemy. The tree of alchemy is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because it's the way in which we can take advantage for good or for bad. To take advantage and go beyond good and evil. And to be like God, knowing good and evil. The Bible states in Genesis, when Adam and Eve ate from the fruit of the tree of good and evil, that Jehovah Elohim said, "Behold, Adam is like one of us, knowing good and evil, like the Elohim." When you study that, you discover that the Elohim is a Greek Hebrew word that means gods and goddesses. Gods and goddesses exist in the universe. The gods and goddesses are those beings or entities that we call angels, archangels, potentates, divas, solar masters. They exist, but they relate to the heart. They control nature. And they live in the planets or stars that they live. They are the heart. Because in the heart we find the soul, the psyche, the superior manas, united with the spirit. And they have different degrees. They control nature. Control the mineral kingdom, the plant kingdom, the animal kingdom, and control the intellectual animals. They are called cosmo-creators. This word cosmo-creator in English is called a creator of cosmoses, of universes. The Bible explains in the very beginning with the word Bereshit, Bara Elohim. In the beginning, the gods created, because Elohim is plural, not singular. Bara means creation. It's called the world of Bria. Does Elohim of the world of Bria have control over nature? True human beings, in the complete sense of the word, that live not only in this planet, but in other planets. When I said that they live in this planet, it's because in this planet Earth, we have few cosmo-creators that we can count with the palm of the hand. In other humanities, cosmo-creators exist in the whole humanity, millions of them. Humanities that are in paradise, Edenic humanities. And they assist other planets. They travel in the space in order to help other humanities, like our humanity, that is really bellicose, related with the liver. They have no control in themselves because their psyche is very degenerated. That psyche, that soul that should be in the heart, is not in the heart, is in the liver. And this is precisely what is happening in this planet Earth. This humanity, the liver, is polluted. And as a consequence, is polluting the other organs, the animals, killing animals, destroying the forestation, forests, plants, polluting the oceans. See how the intellectual animal, the liver of this planet, is digging and digging and taking the blood of the earth. The blood, of course, that is called petroleum oil, has a lot of solar force that they utilize in order to impel cars, airplanes, rockets. Do they know that petroleum is solar energy, condensed? Anybody can know that. We utilize it. It's energy. Condensed. The blood of the planet. And we are just digging and digging and taking it, spilling in the oceans. Oil and water doesn't combine. When you take the blood of the earth out, you are bloodshedding the earth. And that's precisely one of the topics that we have to understand. Bloodshed is related with bile, is related with the gallbladder. In the gallbladder, we find hatred, killing. It's Lilith in us, the dark moon. He who take the blood out of a man shall be avenged by the man, says the Bible. And it's because the word Adam means the breath of God within the blood. Aleph is a breath of God, symbol of the oxygen. And Dam in Hebrew is blood. So when you said Adam, you are saying the breath of God in the heart, which is the vehicle of the blood. So, but when you shed the blood of the heart, you are a bloodshedding person. And as a consequence, you are, of course, committing a great crime. This bloodshed is related to the tree of good and evil, the tree of knowledge. There are three great sins related with the tree of knowledge, or tree of alchemy, that we have to learn. The first is idolatry. The second is bloodshed. And the third is incest. And all of us are guilty of those three crimes. What is idolatry? Idolatry is, you shall not have other Elohim beside me, or in front of me, or next to me. That is a commandment given to the Lemurian humanity. How do you place an idol, another Elohim, or another god or gods inside of yourself? You do it through the liver. Because the psyche, the soul, as the planet Earth transforms the solar light beautifully through the plant kingdom. And you see, when you smell a flower, when you smell a rose, how beautiful, how nice is the scent of a rose or of any flower. How the trees are full with fruit. In the spring, in summer, you see that. That is called the sexual organ of the planet. You eat from it. And what do you eat from it? Is what you call vitamins. Vitamin is nothing but solar energy in different scales and different levels. Solar energy or vitamin, same thing. But of course, when you enter and satisfy the sexual urge as an animal, then you are sending the solar energy that your body produces to the satisfaction of desire, which is centered in the liver. You are not doing what the planet does, transmute and have a nice smell. We stink like animals. And the animals spill the solar energy that is located in the sexual organs. As a consequence, because of the orgasm or the spasm or the satisfaction of desire through the animal body, we create within us that we call lust. Lust, L-U-S-T, is precisely that idol that we created in the beginning. And that everybody worships. People are that say, I am not an idol worshiper. Everybody who is a fornicator, who spilled the seed, the sexual seed, like an animal, is an idol worshiper. He's worshiping that element that is called lust. And everybody has inside. When we covet the sensation of orgasm or spasm, the animal desire, that coveting is another idol. Through coveting, we are always acting in this physical world. We want just to satisfy desires which are located in the belly. That's the power of Behemoth. When that coveting is frustrated because we cannot satisfy it, then anger arises, which is frustrated desire. Anger, coveting, lust are the three doors that send us to hell or to Klipoth, to the lunar way of devolution. Hell, in other words, or inferno. This humanity is centered in these three things, or three negative forces: lust, coveting, or covetousness, and anger. When somebody is angry, it's because he's frustrated. That anger arises, solar force, atomic energy that we have in the body, and feeds the animality that we have within. And we are not in that moment worshiping God. We are worshiping an idol called anger. And when we are coveting the neighbor's wife, the neighbor's spouse, we are, of course, worshiping another idol. And when we kill, we are centered in the bladder, in Lilith. Bloodshed is related with the gallbladder. When you, for instance, in front of another person, embarrass your friend or an ex person, when you embarrass it and this person, his blood or her blood rushes into his face, that's called bloodshed, because you are embarrassing the person. Who doesn't do that? This is just in the lower level. The worst level is when somebody kills another person and shed the blood. When they allowed the bile of the gallbladder to take over himself, like in this day and age, to kill is an art. There are movies where they put killing as an art. They worship that. So this is how the relationship of the gallbladder with the liver. That's why we are sick of the liver. Because we have the psyche, the elements within that destroy the liver, the gallbladder. Stones in the gallbladder, this is very common. In this area, we have the lower appetites, gluttony, fear, etc. But in the spleen is that organ that attracts the solar force during the night, transfer it into the nervous system in order for the physical body to charge again with energy for us to work the next day in order to satisfy desires. This is what we do. That's why it is stated that the spleen is a source of adultery. And what is adultery? It means the adulteration of the solar force, that instead of going to the spirit as Abel, the son of Adam and Eve, was doing the sacrifice of the solar force in order to nourish the spirit. We don't do that. We follow Cain, who is a killer, and then an adulterer. The spleen takes the vibrations of the liver and commits adultery. It adulterates the solar light with the animal appetites of the liver by sucking the black blood. Because the liver doesn't, as we explained in the lecture, doesn't purify the blood. The heart does it, but the liver takes anything from the animal kingdom. And of course, the solar light that we find in nature, that solar light that entices our sight, or as the Bible says, that is pleasant to the eyes, pleasant to the sight, that solar light that is in the flowers, in the trees, with fruits, which is in a beautiful woman, which is in a handsome man, when they are teenagers, which are flowing and showing through all the organs in the skin. That solar light is the light of Adonia, that we call in Hebrew Adoni, my Lord. Adoni is a feminine name. We call it Adonia. Mother Nature, that takes the solar force of the Father, of the Son, in order to give life. But what are we doing with Mother Nature? Are we following and loving Mother Nature? Or are we taking the energy, the solar light of Mother Nature, in order to satisfy animal desires? That's called adultery. And also incest. Because we take that energy of Mother Nature in order to satisfy our own animality. We commit incest like Oedipus the king, who married his own mother. But that mother is the Mother Nature, Adonia, that we should love. This is our first love. This is the book of Revelation. Do not forget from where you come from, how you fell, and your first love. That first love is the energy of love, the energy of Mother Nature, the solar light. That's why it is stated that those that adulterate commit incest. And there are 15 types of incest. Why 15? Because the letter Yod of the holy name, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, has a value of 10. And the letter He of the holy name, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, has a value of 5. Yah is pronounced in Hebrew. Jah is father-mother. Yod is the father. He is the mother. But the devil goes in between them, which is that animality that we have, which is Lilith, and ruins the whole creation. And this is how all our psyche, all our body, all of this planet is ruined because of the devil. 15. But, of course, this type of incest is related with the spleen. And the ruin of this planet comes from us. Because it's the liver the causa causorum of all of this problem that we have. Because through the liver acts karma, cause and effect. In the liver we have the cause and effect of our previous defects, vices, and errors, and sins. And that's why everybody is sick of the liver. And instead of healing the liver by annihilating those elements related with the liver and with the gallbladder, what do? We fortify those psychological elements, and the liver gets worse. It's very easy to see why this humanity suffers in the lower abdomen with different type of sicknesses, which are infecting other organs, even the brain. So all of these three aspects, idolatry, bloodshed, and incest, liver, gallbladder, and spleen, are related with the tree of alchemy, the tree of good and evil, tree of knowledge. And that's why we are suffering. Because we not only hurt physically ourselves because our polluted psyche, but also we are hurting other organs of the planet, like animals, plants, oceans. And we are producing more karma than the one that we already have. That's why when we enter into the mysteries of the tetragrammaton, we had to know how to conjure the negativity of the liver by saying, Elohim, 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 do battle for me in the name of the tetragrammaton, the superior forces of Gebura. The superior forces of Gebura are the forces of the tetragrammaton that you see. You find in the start of the pentagram, in the right hand of the pentagram, the holy name, Yod He Vav He, which is the famous tetragrammaton. When we want to fight against the negative forces of the liver, which wants to attack us physically or internally, we have to say, Elohim, Elohim, do battle for me in the name of the tetragrammaton, which precisely above Gebura. Because Jehovah Elohim, Yod-Heh-Veh Elohim, is above Gebura, which are the forces of Mars. We have to know how to polarize ourselves with the positive forces of Gebura. This way, this word Gebura brings us into our mind Geburael, Geburel, Gabriel. Who is Gabriel, Geburel, or Gebura? Is a male force of God that obeys the forces of the tetragrammaton. That's why in one of the conjurations we say, in the name of Gabriel, that's the male force of God, which is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. May Adonai command thee. Who is Adonai? Adonai is a feminine aspect of the sexual force, which is in the earth, represented by the Star of David in the pentagram. The Star of David here, you see in the right side when it says stone, relates to the other graphic that we were showing. When we write Adonai and the Star of David there with the four creatures, the forces of nature, which Adonijah controls, like the Divine Mother controls. That's why there's the Divine Mother Adonijah is called in Christianity Mary. Mary received the visitation of the angel Gabriel, because the angel Gabriel is a positive male force of God, which is, of course, related with Yesod, the sexual organ, because Yesod relates to the moon, and the moon relates to Gabriel. The moon is related with procreation, with births. So this is how you say the annunciation of the angel Gabriel is, means the annunciation of Geburah, the force of God, which comes from above, from the Holy Spirit, in order to fecundate the virgin matter in the spiritual way. That's why you find that the angel Gabriel is always visiting the great initiates. John the Baptist was also announced by the angel Gabriel. And Muhammad was taught by the angel Gabriel. Because Geburael, the superior forces of Mars, are the male forces that fecundate the solar force, when we know alchemy, when we know the mystery of that. Remember that every planet has two forces, positive and negative. So Mars, of course, the positive force is represented by Elohim Gibor, or Elohim Gebur, or Elohim Geburah, or Elohim Gabriel Gebur. But the negative is Andromelech, which is a Hanasmus, somebody that steals the forces of nature for his own animality. Satisfaction of his own animality. So that's why you find the planet Earth. This humanity belongs to Samael. Yes, it belongs to Samael. But unfortunately, is polarized with a negative aspect of Samael, which is Andromelech, which acts through the liver in order to satisfy his animality. In the liver we find fear, terror. That's why one of the moons of Mars is called Phobos, which means fear, terror. From that Phobos comes the word phobia. There are many types of phobia related with the liver. And of course, this humanity polarizes with the negative aspect of Mars. But this Gnostic doctrine is teaching us how to polarize ourselves with the positive aspect of Mars, which is Geburah, Geburael, Gabriel, chastity. Because we want Geburael, Gabriel, the forces of Mars, to fecundate our own matter. When in this case is the Virgin, that eventually will appear if we go up into the initiations. So behold that. That's why the Tetragrammaton, which is the five-pointed star, has in the left side, or head left arm, we will say, the word Adam. Because Adam relates to the blood. Because Adam is the one that do the work of God in us through the heart. Because the letter Aleph is the same Alpha of the Greek alphabet. As the letter Aleph has three graphics or three yods, which symbolize Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Alpha also has three lines united, they're making the letter A of the famous tetragrammaton or the pentagram. A, the three, which in Latin is E-A-O, Iao, Jovis Pater, Jupiter. And that's why the sign of Jupiter is on top of the pentagram, which is an awakened eyes of the spirit, the eyes of Christ, in other words. Iao, Jupiter, or Jupiter. And the A, of course, is the Aleph, the wind, the air. That's why when we perform physically the start of 5 points, we open our arms and we show that the 5 of the start points is a human being itself, the physical body, with 2 legs, 2 arms, and 1 head. And in order to attract the forces of the Father of Aleph, of Jovis Pater, Jupiter, we put and make the first apex or vertex of the star, because we want the assistance of the cosmic Christ in ourselves. But if you observe the hands of the pentagram, each one of them has the power of the sign of Mars in each. Because Mars represents willpower, what in Greek is called telema. In order to do what we have to do in the heart, we need telema. We need willpower. And that's why when we do the sign of the pentagram or the five-pointed star, we begin with our hands. Because in our hands, the yod, in Hebrew, yad, yod, also symbolize the sexual potency, which is geburah, the power of Mars. And we extend the hands up in order to point that everything that we are doing it with telema, with willpower. That is our motto. And that willpower, we unite our willpower with God, which is Jupiter above, which is the Aleph. And of course, that power comes from the heart, from Dalet Mem, Dam. When we descend the hands in our shoulders, that breath of God has descended into our blood. And we are then Adam. We are receiving the power of Adam Yod He Vav He, or Adam Yod Chava. In other pentagrams, for instance, Eliphaz Levi, she writes Adam in the left and omits the Yod. And then we write Adam Chava, or Adam Eve, in other words, which is the androgynous, the lunisolar forces represented in the moon and in the sun of the star. But Adam Yod He Vav He, Ayam, we said, for instance, in the Conjuration of the Seven, by the sacred name of Shaddai, and by the name of Adam and Eve, who are Yod Chava. Adam and Eve that are Yod Chava. Begone Lilith, the bile of the bladder, gallbladder. Let us rest in peace, Nahema, which is precisely the spleen. Because we tend to be pleasant with the solar light. Remember that that solar light is always shown in the fruit, in the flower, and in the teenagers, in their physicality. Because that hormones from the ovaries and testicles flow in the skin. And that's why we had to know how to control the skin, how to control that light that shones in the flesh. But everybody is enticed with that. And we commit adultery with that because we covet the spouse of the neighbor only with our sight. The Master Jesus says, it is enough to covet a woman with your sight in order to commit adultery. Yes, because we worship an idol in that moment inside of us and commit adultery by taking that solar force for the satisfaction of our lust, our animality. Only Telema can help us. And that's why all of the sign of the five-pointed star is made with the hands. First up, then down, extended, and then you cross them in your sexual organs, which is the omega, because that is the end of the journey of the solar force. The solar force ends his journey in the semen, sperms and ovums. And that's why they are crossed there. But behold that the hands are the ones that are crossed over your sex. And that means that you have to learn the mystery of that and have telema, willpower, in order to transmute, in order to do the alchemy from the sexual organs to Tiferet, which is in your heart. And likewise, the mystery of the transmutation is related with the two serpents of the Caduceus of Mercury. The Caduceus of Mercury has two serpents, because indeed there are two serpents. The one in the right is called Od. The one in the left is called Obd. In India, Ida Pingala. The two polarities. The moon and the sun. The solar atoms and the lunar atoms. The solar atoms are related with Od, the serpent of the right. Unfortunately, that serpent that gives us life, because it is in relation with the solar light, with the prana, with the solar energy that goes into our flesh, into our organs, into the flower, into the fruit. When we look at it, we get enticed. It is written that God made every tree pleasant to the sight. We have to learn how to transform impressions, how to transform that solar light for the spirit in order not to commit adultery. Because immediately when we look at a flower of a fruit of a woman or a woman, a man, and like him or like her, immediately we want to satisfy the lust, to commit adultery with that marvelous light of the Divine Mother, Adonia. We want to commit incest. And we have to transform that. In order to do that, we need willpower. The power of Samael. Because if we allow the negative aspect of Samael to control us, then we end spilling, masturbating, and ejaculating the sexual force in order to satisfy the animal within. And we forgot about the tree of alchemy, the tree of good and evil. Of course, the serpent, which is lunar, is more dangerous than the one on the right, because that serpent is the one related with Eve, related with the mechanicity of the moon. Nahema is called. In the positive aspect, but in the negative it's called Lilith. Lilith is precisely the one that fornicated with Adam and created the Kundavafer organ and the evil consequences of that organ is inside in our psyche. We have to stop being an animal by transmuting the sexual energy in order for that serpent to stand again in the caduceus of Mercury. And that's precisely what the pentagram is showing us. The famous tetragrammaton. Because in order to develop the forces of God within, we need to take His force, which is the creative energy in the solar, in the sexual organs, up to the heart. And that's the sign that you see. Because the wings of the Spirit, those wings that the angels developed, which are related with chastity. As we explained, the four creatures that we need to control are in the middle of the pentagram. Gabriel is the moon. Michael is the sun. Raphael is Mercury. Uriel or Anael is Venus, the forces of love within. So when we name these four angels, Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, Anael, fluat tudor per spiritum Elohim, let the perfume flow by the power of the Elohim inside, then we do the alchemy. We do the transmutation. And that's why you find that Adam Chava, Wadam Yod Chava, is in the arms, because they represent the superior forces of God that has to control the forces of the Star of David related with the four elements. In order for us to develop all the symbols, the cup in the left side of the pentagram symbolizes the mind, also the sexual feminine organ. The staff in the left side is the staff of the patriarchs, the spinal medulla. The sword in the very bottom is showing us that in order to create that sword, we have to raise the energy in the middle. If you don't raise your hands up to the heart, that sword doesn't come, is not created. That is Excalibur, the sword that comes from Mother Nature. Is the energy, the solar force rising, called Kundalini, and the spinal medulla. There is something that you have to understand. In the very feet of this pentagram, you find the signs of Saturn. Saturn symbolizes the earth. Of how, with the hands of Mars, Telema, we bring the forces from above, from the Father, down to the earth when we cross the arms over the sexual organs. And of course, when we do that, we are uniting the spirit with the soul. I, the soul, and he, the spirit. When you hear or when you read in the Bible, I am he are one, related with that, they're talking about God. Who is God? God is Yod He Vav He. That's God. And who is I? In Hebrew, I is written with three letters. Aleph, Nun, and Yod. You said Ani. Ani. If you add the letter Dalet, D, you form Adoni. So this Ani is Adoni. When I and he are one, is when Adonai are one with Jehovah. It means a prophet. Somebody whose soul is united with the spirit. That is I and he are one. But of course, we separated I from he. Because this I is a psychological I that satisfies lust, the animality. So therefore, is not worshipping he, which is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, Jehovah, but worshipping an idol. Worshipping something inside of us through the sexual satisfaction, or through anger, or through coveting. This is what you have to understand when you see the pentagram, the symbol of this alchemy that we are showing you in this picture. For instance, in the left side, you find the word pechad, which means fear. We talk about fear. We say that it is related with the liver. Fear is in relation with justice. And kafar is in relation with expiation. It's in relation with the opposite of geburah, which is chesed. So, pehad is geburah. And kafar is chesed, expiation. Or as we say, mercy and justice, which here precisely the two sides, the right and the left, mercy and justice, be ye the equilibrium and the splendor of my life when you work with your heart. From your heart you are saying that. When you are saying that, remember these two Hebrew words in the pentagram, which are pointing you to the belly, the right side of the belly and the left side of the belly, pechad and kafar. There are two verses in the Bible, in the book of Deuteronomy, that talks about this. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 8 says, "Be merciful, Jehovah, unto thy people Israel, whom thou hast redeemed, and laid not innocent blood unto thy people of Israel charge, and the blood shall be forgiven them." This is, of course, is how it is translated in the Bible. But the real translation, Kabbalistically speaking, is kafar, which is precisely that which is to the right, to chesed, which is mercy. That's why they write, "Be merciful." But in order for God to be merciful with you, you have to expiate. You know, if you don't annihilate the elements that within you create karma, your God cannot be merciful with you. That's why kafar is... the right translation should be like this: "Expiate thy people Israel, whom thou hast saved, O Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, and let not innocent blood suffer in the midst of thy people Israel, and let the blood atone them." The word "atone" again is kafar. You see, kafar. Kafar, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. This is how we are reading right now. So kafar means to atone, to expiate. And that's precisely written in one of the, we would say legs, but it really is the left, one of the sides of the pentagram, which is related, of course, with the work of your superior spirit. Because when you work with God, He helps you to expiate. Remember that the Lord, the Christ, incarnates in the initiate in order to help him to expiate what he owes in a different ways, in order to pay what we owe. The third factor of the revolution of the consciousness, by being charitable to others is the way in which we pay a lot of karma. But not only that, expiate the sin. We have to comprehend the ego. We have to annihilate the ego related with that particular karma. And in order to annihilate it, we have to be in chastity. We have to be faithful to our Divine Mother. The three factors. Then, be merciful with the people of Israel. The people of Israel are our own spiritual values, as we explained in many lectures, that we have within. That's why that chapter of Deuteronomy 21, chapter 8, says, Kafar, be merciful. This is the translation, but really it's not. Should be, expiate thy people Israel. How does God expiate the people of Israel in relation with the heart? By working with the blood, by working with alchemy. Because you name here blood. What is the innocent blood? The innocent blood is the solar light, the force, the vitamins that we have in the physical body, and the forces of our own soul. That is innocent. But the polluted blood that we have related with the liver, related with anger, with pride, with lust, with vanity, with gluttony, with laziness. That is polluted. That is not innocent. They deserve to die. So therefore we need a psychological death in order for God to be merciful with us. Because mercy comes when we are doing something for humanity and for ourselves. But we are asking for mercy. My God, this karma that I have is so strong. I need help. I need your assistance. Please help me. But meanwhile, we don't meditate. We don't comprehend those egos related with that karma. We don't suffer for humanity in order to be charitable, to help them. But we are asking, asking and asking. But we never give. We never give. We have to give in exchange. And that's kafar, expiation. There are people, for instance, that they walk. I was watching the other day this movie from Tibet. When these people that they prostrate and stretch their body and stand again and prostrate the body again, stretching there on the ground, and like that they walk miles and miles and miles and to reach in the temple. That type of suffering, that's expiation. The way of in order to do that, of course, they are killing something. But the best way in order to do expiation is to sacrificing yourself for humanity, helping your neighbors, giving to eat to the one that is hungry, to drink to the one that is thirsty, and to clothe the one that is naked. That is expiation. Not by believing that people say, oh, I believe in God, I read the Bible, and I belong to this church or to this group, and therefore God will be merciful with me because I believe in Jesus. No. That doesn't work like that way. So, of course, on the other side of the pentagram, we find fear. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for Yod-Havah, your Elohim, shall lay the fear of you and dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as he hath said unto you. This Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 25 is what I read. The real translation should be, no man will stand himself in your presence. Your dread and your fear, Pehad, do Yod-Havah your Elohim put on the face of all the land of which ye tread, as he had spoken unto you. It means that when you walk on the path of the self-realization, you are placing on your own land, which is your own body, your own Adamah. You are placing that strength, that will of God, which is fear, terror for the ego. And that's why when you place the pentagram, you find precisely that. That's the symbol of that. Pehad, fear, you see? And you find the moon there. Because those lunar aggregates, defects, vices, and errors that we have are fear of, are afraid of the Lord. Because this pentagram symbolizes all the strength of God in one sign. That's why it's a very powerful talisman. But the Master Samael on the earth states, we have to make of us a living pentagram. When you work in yourself and you walk on your own land and annihilate your ego and transmute your sexual force and work for God, you accumulate a lot of strength, a lot of willpower, solar force. Then your enemies are afraid of you. But your enemies are not your neighbor. Remember that. It's what the people that we have very, very, very shallow mind think. All the enemies of the Lord are the enemies of this race or this religion. No. The enemies of the Lord are within you. They are within us. Our defects, vices, errors, lust, anger, pride, etc. All of those are afraid when we are accumulating that and we start following the path and working with Michael in order to defeat the dragon. That's the fear that you feel here. Pehad, which is related with the moon. And of course, the expiation, because you have to have mercy and justice in every side. When you walk with your two feet, then you are walking with mercy and justice, being the equilibrium and the splendor of our life, which is our work, the psychological work that we perform. And this is precisely the mystery of the mysterious tetragrammaton. It's not, as many people think, or many esotericists think, that the name in the left arm should be Adonai. No. Even though Adonai means the Lord. But Adonai is below, because this star is the one that fecundates Adonai, which is Malkut, which are the representation of the four creatures. So therefore, in the name of Adam Yod-Chava, you control. Because this Adam Yod-Chava, or the virile force of God, is called Geburael, Gabriel. That is represented in the arms. He's the one that announces Mary. You will receive the Lord, the Christ, in your womb. Because I am Geburael, the virility of God, that through chastity will fecundate that in you. Oh, according to the Holy Spirit, which is above me, because Geburah is below the Holy Spirit. You see, this is Geburah. Geburah is the fifth, the power, the virile man, Geburael, Gabriel, that descends into Yesod and announces Malkut, which is the Virgin Mary. Today, you will be engendered with the Lord. And I, Geburael, which works under the forces of Binah, the Holy Spirit, I'm going to fecundate you. This is precisely the mystery of the Immaculate Conception, that she is receiving the forces of God, the male forces, in her, because she is the feminine. She's Adonia, Adonis, my goddess, that is engendered by Geburah. And that's why we said, in the name of the angel Geburael, Gabriel, may Adonai command thee and drive thee hence, Baal. Who is Baal? Represents all of that garbage that we have that we call Baalim. Baalim, all the defects, vices, and errors of Klipath, which are underneath the layer of Adonai, which is the divine mother nature. So in the name of Gabriel, may Adonai command thee and drive thee hence, Baalim, Baal, all you demons of hell that dwells within me. Because we are conjuring something that is inside of us. And when we do that, we accomplish that, of course we accomplish the outside. Bear in mind that. Bear in the mind about that. Because remember that in the conjuration of the four, you named two serpents. In the first, you said, Caput mortum imperativi dominus pervivum et devotum serpentem. That is Latin. And that means corpse's head. May Adonai, you see, the dominus, the angel Adonai, or the mother Adonai, command thee. The Bible says, by the living and votive serpent. In other words, we are talking about the serpent of light. That's the serpent Od, the solar force that we see in the flower, that we see in the fruit, what we see everywhere in this nature, that solar energy. Remember that the Lord says, I am the light of the world. That light of the world, that Christ, is precisely the one that is the vivum, or living and devoted serpent, or votive serpent. That serpent that is with light. But we should learn not to adulterate with it. Don't get enticed by the pleasant of the sight of that serpent, which is in every human organism, and every flower, and any tree, and any animal that you enjoy when you see how beautiful this animal. Look at peacock. A peacock with all that beauty, there's all that light shining through him. When you are healthy, it's because the vitamins of that solar force. That's the living, embodied serpent that we have to take advantage of. But the other one, the serpent that rides, he says, riding serpent, crawl on my feet, or be tortured by the sacred fire, and give way before the perfume that I burn in it. That's part of that conjuration. That's the other serpent, the riding one. The one says, now you will eat dust all the days of your life because you are having committed fornication. That writhing serpent is a serpent of lust. That serpent that entices all the human beings in this planet. The serpent that we have to control with the perfumes that I burn in it. What perfumes? The same perfume that it says here, for instance, Fluat udor per spiritum Elohim. Let the perfume flow by the Ruach Elohim, or by the Spirit of God. That perfume is when you transmute, like the plants, transmute the sexual force. When you go inside, in the fourth dimension, then you discover that every single elemental or soul of every plant performs the sexual act, but without spilling the energy. All the souls of the plants transmute the sexual energy. That's why their sexual organ smells nice. When you are smelling a flower, that's the sexual organ of the flower, the rose. When you are smelling a fruit from a tree, that's the sexual energy of the tree. And that's precisely what we said is the sexual organ of the planet. So when we do that, that perfume flows. That's why there are saints that says that when they died, they were smelling like perfume because they were not fornicators. They were developing chastity and annihilating through expiation their ego of lust. So therefore, that perfume must flow from the sex up to the head when we know alchemy. And the writhing serpent shall be crawled at my feet to control it, that lustful serpent that everybody has within, right? By the perfumes that I burn in it, that the perfumes that I burn in this sexual act, let the writhing serpent be tortured. This is what we have to do. This is precisely the great work of alchemy that we do by the mystery of the tetragrammaton, which is the holy name of God. Questions? Yes. The association of Samael and Gabriel in relation with Geburah. Good question. Geburah, unquestionably, is ruled by Mars and also by the Sun, S-U-N. But in Bria, is ruled by Samael. And the positive ray of Samael is El Elohim Gibur. It's a precious angel. But the forces of Samael are the forces of the solar fire that descend from above and enter into the earth. Enter also into our physicality. And they go into the liver. In the liver, of course, we receive the strength that gives us the sexual potency. Because according to science, Taoism, the liver, the kidneys, the spleen are the organs that give sexual strength, either for a woman or a man. But of course, the forces that descend there goes into the sex, into Yesod. Yesod is ruled by the moon. The moon, astrologically speaking, is ruled by Gabriel, by the male, the forces of male. That's why Yesod is always represented by a naked man, which is the virility of the moon. So that virility, of course, receives the strength from Geburah, as you see. Geburah descends into the liver from above. And of course, Gabriel is strong thanks to Samael, which is the Lord of power, the Lord of strength. That's why Gabriel is also associated in name also Geburael, because he has the strength of the power of Samael that is under the Holy Spirit. There's a positive force of Mars that is related with chastity. While in the other side, of course, we have the negative aspect of Samael, that when you don't care about the superior forces of your monad, of the superior forces of creation, and you just act mechanically like an animal. And that is, of course, the negative aspect of Samael, related with Behemoth, related with Satan, the animal force. And that's why in the book of the Zohar, Kabbalah book, they name Samael, sometimes positive, sometimes negative. It depends, because he has the power of the tree of good and evil. You can use it for good if you know the doctrine, if you know transmutation of Geburael or Gabriel, the angel of the moon that represents the positive aspect of Jehovah. But if you don't follow it, well, then you fortify your animality, which is this, what this humanity is doing. Being a slave of the sexual force, being a slave of the liver, being a slave of the spleen. All this humanity is slave of the lower forces of the abdomen, especially the liver. Bellicose humanity. That's why Samael is a god of war. Either the war that we had to launch against ourselves, or the war in the outside by killing other people and shedding blood and committing that sin against, of course, the tree of knowledge. So that is, of course, the association of Gabriel with Samael. That's why, as you see, with your hands, Martian hands, you bring the forces of Samael down to Gabriel. Remember, the forces of Mars are in the hands of the pentagram. And when you do the sign of the pentagram with your hands, you bring those forces of Samael down to Yesod, which is Gabriel. And through Gabriel, he fecundates the inner matter, Mary. Good? Do you have another question?
Actually, we do.
Yeah? The spleen absorbs the connection between incest and adultery. In an incestuous person is an adulteress. Adultery, because this is happening with adultery, the spleen attracts the solar light, pure light of the sun, Tifereth, pure light of God, of the Elohim, the cosmos creators. And the moon reflects that in the liver during the night. So the moon is the mother, and the sun is the father of that solar light. And the earth is precisely the one that takes all of that, which is the physical body. So we need to transmute that in order to return that light into our spirit. Because that light accumulates during the night through the spleen into the nervous system and to all the organism. But when you identify with that light, because it's pleasant to the sight and pleasant to your senses, and satisfy your lust, your animality, because in order for your lust, your animality to be satisfied, it needs energy. Lust satisfied with the solar energy. That's precisely the point. In order to have orgasm or spasm, any animal needs solar energy. So when we reach the spasm, the orgasm, in order to satisfy the animality, the desire, we are committing adultery. Because we are not feeding our spirit, we are feeding something else, which is our ego. That's adultery. And when we are doing that, we are utilizing the forces of nature, which is our mother, in order to satisfy animality. In other words, we take the solar energy of my mother in order to satisfy my lust. That's called incest. Satisfying my lust through the mother. Do you understand that? Do you get it?
The problem is in English, people think incest reflects sex between siblings. They don't understand that the word incest often is used in Kala is sexual misconduct of any kind.
Yeah. That's the point. That sexual misconduct of any kind is called incest in Kabbalah. In Kabbalah. Why in Kabbalah? Because remember, this is an alchemical aphorism, an alchemical axiom. Hermes Trismegistus, which is the messenger of the god Mercury, which is represented in the caduceus of Mercury or the pentagram, he stated, the father is the sun. The mother is the moon. The the air of the atmosphere is nurse, and the air took it, which is the physicality. Talking about the solar energy. So when you said incest, whether you are sinning against the father or the mother, if you are a woman, you are sinning against the father. Right? If you are a man with a mother, you're committing incest. But that is not a physical mother, nor is a physical father, but a solar force that is divided in two polarities, mother, father, that we have to understand. And of course, also there is incest related with brother and sister, sister and brother, because those elements exist within us, as we explained in other lectures. The siblings are the sexual organs. The sexual organs, masculine is the man, the feminine is the woman. When you utilize the siblings in the wrong way, when you fornicate, you satisfy your own animality, your own sexual organ, you are committing also incest. Related with energy, remember. This is in Kabbalah, in alchemy, alchemically speaking. That's why the Zohar states there are 15 kinds of incest. And in that enters Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, and the other siblings that are hidden there. Do you have another question? If you know the words in order to make a circle around the room, if you don't know what?
If you are imagining the pentagram and you don't collect all the lines of the pentagram together,
will it? Oh, yeah. If you are imagining the pentagram but you don't collect all the images of the pentagram, no, it doesn't matter. Because when you are naming, you're making the circle around your room in order to protect your body when you go to sleep, that's precisely the point. There is a mantra that you can protect your body by pulling up the forces of God into your room and to make a magic circle that will protect your body against the negative forces of other black magicians or sorcerers that want to hurt you. But remember this, it won't protect you against your lust. Your lust will be always with you there in that circle. So comprehend that. So the mantra that you have to pronounce is Helion Melion Tetragrammaton. Helion Melion Tetragrammaton. Helion, the forces of above, mingled with the forces of below, by the Tetragrammaton means that. It's a Hebrew word. Helion Melion Tetragrammaton. From above, down the Tetragrammaton. Then you imagine a circle around your room. Circle, magic circle. You don't need to imagine the pentagram. But if you imagine it, it will be good. And if you imagine with all the symbols, even better. But then you have to have a lot of good memory. You have to have always the pentagram there in your room. And when you are doing that, you just open your eyes and look at it. Right? And that's resolved the problem. Another question? Thank you very much.
The presentation of this lecture was made possible by donations from listeners like you. Help Gnostic Radio to help others. Make a donation by visiting GnosticRadio.org. For questions and deeper understanding of this lecture, we invite you to explore the wide variety of resources available on our websites. Thank you for your support. May all beings be happy.